Well, I don't know when you last read through Psalm 119, but it is a sort of mega psalm, isn't it? You could do it in one sitting if you've got the time, or maybe a couple of sittings. What are your two great loves? If I was to ask you this question, what are your two great loves in life? We haven't got time to go around and ask, and you may not want to answer. But the psalmist, he isn't ashamed of his two great loves. He wants to share them, and he does through this wonderful psalm. Well, let me just give them right at the beginning of our message. His first great love is for God. God first. God only. And then his second great love is for God's word, that he would hear from God, that he would grow in God. And if you get a chance to read this psalm, you will see this true delight in God, and God's word comes out again and again in these verses. My prayer is that God would speak to us about our two great loves. Do our two great loves match up to the psalmist's great love? Look at verse 57. This is a great verse. You are my portion, O Lord. I have promised to obey your words. So a little bit, that's the NIV version. Your version is slightly different. But you are my portion. God, the psalmist is saying, you're my everything. You're everything that's of worth in my life. You're everything that I need for today and for every day. You are my eternal portion. He could say, you know, you are my satisfying portion. David, the shepherd boy who became the giant killer and the king of Israel, he didn't write this psalm, we don't believe, but he knew God as his portion as well. David said, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. You know, it's saying it a bit differently, but he's saying, God, you're my portion. God took care of David. God led David. And at times, God had to discipline David. You know, for us this morning, there's no greater portion than knowing God and loving him. They've got to go together, haven't they? The knowing God and loving him. People outside the church would say, oh, yeah, I know God. I believe there is a God. But it's not just knowing, it's loving him, isn't it? It's having that relationship with God. I love the character of Job in the Bible, in the book of Job. And Job knew God as his portion. I'm sure you know the story, how everything was taken away from Job. The devil wanted to test Job, believed Job wouldn't keep loving God. All Job's children died as the house was brought down upon them. All his livestock was stolen away, taken away. His wife said, Job, it's time to curse God and die. But fortunately, he didn't listen to his wife that time. But he held on to God. And he said this, that the Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. God remained his portion. Another example, God was Joshua's portion. Joshua was the understudy, wasn't he, of Moses? And then when Moses died, it was Joshua's calling to take the people into the promised land, to win the victories there, and then inherit the land. And Joshua called the people together just before he was going to let them go off to their portions of area. And he said this to them, "Now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness." And then he says something very personal about what he's going to do. And he says, "As for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." You know, God was Joshua's portion. God was enough. God was more than enough for him. Someone said, to have the Lord is to have everything. You know, it's true, isn't it? To have the Lord is to have everything. Well, let me ask you this morning, can you say with the psalmist this morning, "You are my portion, O Lord. You are my everything." I want to share one more verse from the psalmist. It was in the first reading at the beginning of our service. And it's verse 11. Remember, the psalmist has got a love for God, but he's also got a love for God's word. And we see this very much in this verse. Verse 11, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." You know, here the psalmist's heart had become like a storehouse where he would put divine truths into his heart, where the word would be kept, hidden away, yet it was there to be drawn upon daily. That ready supply at any time. You know, just before Jesus started his ministry, Satan wanted to test Jesus, to tempt Jesus. And Satan said one thing, and Jesus, in his reply, he didn't say, "Well, let me just get my scroll out and I'll read you some scripture." But out of his heart, firstly, Jesus is the Word of God. But out of his heart, he knew Scripture. And he could combat the temptations that Satan put to him with gospel truth. You know, here the psalmist's heart is also, yes, it's a storehouse, but we can say it's more than that. It's a treasury. For it holds the great treasure of God's word there. And that's of enormous worth to the psalmist and also to us. It's truly precious if we can store God's word in our hearts. Because if it's in our hearts, it can't be stolen away, can't it? Can it? You know, I support the persecuted church and pray for them in my quiet times. And you hear awful things, don't you, when you read what's happening to them. You know, their Bibles are burnt up or trashed and taken away. Their churches are burnt down. North Korea, they go into labor camps. China into indoctrination camps. But they don't have the Bible in paper form like we have today with them. But if they've treasured God's word in their heart, they have that ready supply with them. Colossians 3 and verse 16. "Let the word of Christ dwell in you." Anyone finish it? Richly, that's right. That's wonderful, isn't it? "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You know, in our world, people flaunt their riches, don't they, on the outside. The lovely houses, their flash cars, their fashionable clothes, etc. Their sort of many holidays. But for the Christian, our treasure is within, isn't it? It's not in, outward in that way. It's within. I love Mary, the mother of Jesus, who I've read recently in Luke's Gospel, twice here, that she treasured these things in her heart. She was someone that pondered upon what was said about Jesus, what happened with the shepherds coming, what happened in the temple with the prophet Sarah, what they said. She treasured these things in her heart. You know, our psalmist here gives us a good reason to treasure Scripture in our hearts. Back in verse 11, he says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you." You know, if we want to resist temptation, if we want to not sin, we need the word of God in our hearts, don't we? It's a wonderful help to us when it comes to temptation and not sinning. Because we will love to do what is right and hate to do what displeases God, which is evil and wicked. So the heart is where God's word is truly received, isn't it? Truly believed. You know, we say, don't we? It's a living word. You know, and it comes and the word indwells our hearts. And we live, we enjoy it, and we live out from that. So let me ask you, how is your inner storehouse today, your treasury? You know, you don't know my treasury, I don't know yours, but you know your own, and God knows your own as well, doesn't he? You know, if it's pretty empty today, our treasury, if there's not much there, we're neglecting God's word, aren't we? We see that from our psalmist. He loved God's word and he would read it. He would feed upon it in that sense. Well, I hope that we are filling our treasury with good things of God's word. And it's precious to us. You know, I remember when I grew up in Sunday school and we had holiday clubs, there was always the memory verse, wasn't it? I don't know if you remember, but it was wisdom, wasn't it? That people helped us learn memory verses, and it helps us now even to recall Scripture to our minds from our hearts. So the psalmist gives us a wonderful example of loving God and loving God's word. And if you want a better example, look to Jesus. How he loved the Father and how the Father loved him. We know, don't we, that Jesus delighted in the word of God and to fulfill that very word of God as well. So as we bring the message to a conclusion, make God your portion and keep God as your portion. And store up that treasure, that richness of God's word in your heart. One verse to finish, Psalm 73 and verse 26. I'm sure we can all fill with the psalmist here, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forevermore." That's Psalm 73, verse 26.